Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place.
I'm here with the amazing Scott Abbott. Thank you very much for joining me, sir. I do appreciate it. Let me just tell you a little bit about Scott, and then he can do some more introductions. I met Scott, 3 or 4 months ago? It seems
been
like
about
forever.
That time.
It's just like I've known you for years, and we get on really well. I think we're good friends. And Scott actually runs a company called Boss Up, and Boss Up is a business coaching organization, and he uses an operating system called 90, who's run by his brother Mark. And the teaming up of this two sets, so that the Boss Up community and the 90 tools, is just an amazing thing for business. So let me hand over to Scott. Hey Scott, tell us a bit more about your past history, how you get to be the amazing Scott Abbott, and we'll go on from there.
Thank well, you. I think a lot of people I know would call me a lot of other things than amazing, probably a lot less complimentary, but thank you, Roy. And likewise, my admiration for you and appreciation, kudos, is extensive. I'm a big fan. And yeah, it's funny because we've known each other now for a few months, and this is a compliment. It seems so much longer.
It really does.
We talk weekly almost, and sometimes more. And it's been longer because the depth and breadth of our conversations, what you do, you're like a Machiavellian dude, man. You are deep and resonant, and the work you do and how you do it, your personality, just a big fan. And thanks for having me on the show today. And again, thanks for being in our community and all the things that you do. Yeah, I call it Scott Abbott 5.5. So I started Boss Up a couple of years ago, very focused on building a great solution in complement to 90. 90 is a world-class, innovative, cloud-based business operating system. The company's actually been around for about 10 years. We've got about 15,000 plus companies around the world, about 50 countries, a couple few hundred thousand users. And what Boss Up does is we basically are a membership organization for independent coaches, and we provide a solution and community to help them learn and bring Boss Up and 90 into their practice. And then from there, help them to deliver through sessions and coaching and training and facilitation, the Boss Up 90 solution as part of their practice in order to generate additional impact and income for them and for their clients. And I started this about a couple of years ago after 30 plus years in business as a founder and entrepreneur. I've had a few of my own companies, some not so successful, some we did pretty good. And I've also spent some time with some of the big companies in the world, IBM, Microsoft, SAP, on the tech and partnership front. And then I've consulted and implemented systems and strategies literally in hundreds of companies along the way. And I've been honored and blessed to work with thousands of individuals. And today I, again, spend a lot of time at Boss Up, but I also have my own investment and coaching company where I get a chance to provide business and executive coaching to startups and small companies, as well as large organizations on a global level. And that's how I, again, through Boss Up, got to meet you. So I live here in Indiana, and I could go and probably sing a little bit of a John Mellencamp song, but I won't. But that's my story, man.
Cool. And we met, I was looking at, you know, how do I take the 90 operating system out to clients. I've used it for a lot of the time that 90's been running.
Yeah.
I first came into it to probably 2017, maybe. And
maybe at the 10th year, you'll get some type of a gift in the mail, a little basket and a card and a hat and a shirt. We'll see.
Yeah, my 90 t-shirt, maybe. And yeah, I love it. I think it's such an awesome system. And the thing that really inspired me to join you guys and to work with the community is this idea that we can take such good tools and we can provide these tools to small to medium-sized businesses. It's no longer just the remit of the big companies that can really afford 60, 70, 80 grand initial coaching fees and then ongoing fees on top of that. We can bring this to people that actually need it. And this really inspires me is this idea that business owners are pretty awesome. I think we're an awesome bunch, right? And I think we deserve to live the life we love. We deserve to be able to go. One of the things we get on really well with is we have very similar views on all this. Love traveling, love seeing other people, love teaching people. And I think that just really it feels good. It feels right. It feels
We like to have fun with it, to your point. And thanks to Boss Up, because 90 is a software company, 90 is a platform. And like most industrial grade, enterprise strong, robust software, it's hard to self-implement. And as the expression goes, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And so what we created at Boss Up are implementation guides, and we've got wonderful resource materials that complement 90. So our coaches, together with our guidebooks, our materials, our community, our support, along with 90, right? We help leaders and their teams learn, implement, and benefit from a custom-tailored business operating system. And to your point, the cool thing for them and for our coaches, as you do, then they're also able to layer in additional models and programs and things that they like, AI, breath work, leadership skills, right? Some are more focused on the economics, M&A, exits, right? And that's cool. The ability to be you and to harmonize with others, but to also be able to leverage a proven, robust, scalable system. And then last but not least, as you said, because we've done it the way we've done it, it's affordable, it's accessible, and truly, we believe we've got the most modern, flexible, and inclusive way to help literally anybody learn, implement, and benefit from a business operating system, much like the big companies do, but obviously without the traditional expense or timeline that it takes.
You've played in that space for quite a while, haven't you? I mean,
Oh,
you've
yeah.
all the big names and you've seen the insides, how they work. And so I'm really, I can't say enough about the package that you put together. The ability to have the guys bring their own flavor to it, to you actually bring their experience in. I've been involved with some of the bigger names and it's been very restrictive. It's been,
Yeah.
you come in, you follow, it's just step by step, you don't say anything else. And I felt that really tied up the experience that I had, and it didn't allow me to actually bring myself into it. And that's what, I love that about Boss Up. I love the ability, to bring my own flavor to it. And we'll go into the AI and we'll go into that a bit later, and breath work and ice bath and all these great things. And I think, just by coming in and seeing all the different materials that you spent some time and some effort in getting this all right, and it really
Yeah,
shows.
we actually spent about 2 years and a significant amount of cash capital and time capital before we actually brought the coaches in. To your point, you were one of our very first coaches, and I think you came in October of last year. So we spent almost 2 years just working on the materials, the resources, the academy. As somebody once said, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, and perception's reality. So it's very important to me. While 90's the product company, I really felt that Boss Up wanted to be a product-led company as well. And together, the two products, along with coaches, makes a solution, because people don't buy products per se, they buy solutions. And thank you. Yeah. And we're working on it every day, right? I'm not technically an employee for reasons that allow me to be, as we call it, the visionary and the head coach, and to continue to be in the market, assisting our coaches and learning and being able to continue to add additional thoughts around growth and evolution and new things we get to do, which I think we'll talk about some of that today on our call.
And the joy of that for me is you bring in the boys. I started skydiving. When I first started skydiving, I didn't have a coach. I just spent the money, on the jumping and on the twin tunnels, and I wasn't really making progress nearly as quickly as I could have. Then when I started investing the money in the coaching and actually getting the coaching to come and help me, suddenly progress was there. And you bring that coaching experience, and my business coach, so thank you for that. You're helping me on my journey. And I think it's so important that people actually understand the benefit, the shortcuts that you can achieve by going to someone who has the knowledge And just said, oh, watch that bump in the road. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a little bit of a bloody nose. Yeah. And
Yeah.
it really does make, it makes all the difference.
100%. Well, there's no such thing as 90-minute abs. There's certainly something to be said about watching what you eat and how you take care of yourself and supplements and what you read and so on and so forth, right? So I don't necessarily like the expression cheat code per se, because there's so much goodness that comes from doing the work. To your point, you were smart enough to know that before you jumped out of your first airplane, you better have a good parachute, and then it's packed. And you knew some of the common sense elements, although my dad's got a great expression, common sense is not so common, right? And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So you've been working with me for a while. So I, being a guy from Indiana, I use a lot of those cut up old school expressions and quotes. But yeah, I think it's funny because we mentioned it just a few minutes ago. What we truly believe is that we've got a solution that's effective, affordable, and we've built programs to meet our clients where they're at. We don't have a rigid, one-way, fixed approach. But at the same time, it begs to ask, why doesn't everybody harness this opportunity to be a better version of themselves? And why doesn't everybody wear a seatbelt and brush their teeth and do the right things?
So you've been playing this game for a while, and it's just what is a business operating system for the guys that don't know? I mean, what is a business operating system really? We all do, we all run our businesses. We all know, what we think we know what we should be doing. But yeah, if you were to distill it down to a sentence or to a few sentences, what would a business operating system be?
Yeah. I found, and I've been doing this for a long time, that if you unpack what is a business operating system, a fun way to actually start with the definition is to flip the actual words. And so if you think about it, a business operating system is a system to help you operate your business.
Yeah.
Let that just marinate a little bit. A business operating system is a system to help you operate your business. And we joke that a lot of people think, and they're right, that there's a product or a specific tangible asset that does that. And the joke is, okay, if that's what you think, who's got a business operating system today? And because they think that it's based on a product or a book or some type of tangible, right? Most people don't actually raise their hand. And then we have a little bit of a fun reply that says, no system is actually a system. Think about it. So, no system is a system. So, first is, what's a business operating system? It's a system to help you operate your business. More definitively, though, a good business operating system should effectively take what we call the essential concepts, tools, and disciplines that have been proven through books and thought leaders and in organizations over the last few decades for what it takes to effectively be good in leadership, management, teamwork, and accountability, and all of those other elements that ultimately you need to harness and have cohesively integrated, and everybody needs to make sure they're in place. We call those the nine core competencies. And most people get it by just the very nature of words like vision and strategy and goals and people and structure and data. And most people get it, but they don't know how to integrate it. They don't know how to fuse it, bundle it, and bring it all together so that one, it's simple. Two, they can again afford it. And three, it actually works. And so, again, a business operating system brings all this important material and what most people logically understand, but most people don't ultimately know how to do it in a way that ultimately helps them to run, build, scale, grow, and have, back to the start of our conversation, whether they're the owner on the leadership team, the type of company that they want, that gives them the results, be that economic, be that life, gives them the results that they want and the type of career and life that they ultimately want to live. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, I think one of the examples that really stuck with me through this journey, core values. We talk about core values as one of the many processes and things we look at. And you look at all the bigger players out there, and some of them pay lip service to core values, and some of them live core values. And the difference in doing that, so until you actually dig into this stuff, you just don't. You have no idea. So do you get your staff in based on their core values? And then do you hire and fire based on those core values? And do those core values further your vision? Do they further your goals? Does it bring everybody together? And I've always seen core values as honestly just a pain in the ass until I started doing this work. And I'm like, I get it now. Why do these people have these core values? And to me, that was really a strong way to think about how these business operating systems can actually make a difference. Is you might have heard the words, but do you know the meaning?
And I think to your point, and that's a great example because I would also complement that to use the term yin and yang. And most things I would say are an and both, not an either or. You're completely correct, but I complement that to say, but you also need performance. Right? Values, irrespective of performance, can actually be troublesome because if it's just about values and holding hands and singing kumbaya and sitting around talking about esoteric values, if you will, and you're a for-profit company that has a product or a service that ultimately your clients are dependent on to save lives, to bring them the materials and the resources that put people in airplanes that have confidence that they're taking off and landing and all these things that happen. You need the productivity to go with the values, right? You need vision to have execution. You need, and on the flip, performance without values, right? Profit without passion and purpose. Yuck. So the beauty of a great business operating system, to your point, is that all of the essential concepts, tools, and disciplines are respected and inspected, and that through a hopefully a simple, effective, and visible way, you ensure to the best of your abilities that you're taking care of what you're supposed to take care of. Control the controllables, as we like to say.
And that piece of, I think a lot of business owners, when they start looking at this, think, and I was guilty of this. I was like, okay, I got a highly, very expensive coach from one of the other providers in, and he came and sat with us. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this for 3 weeks and I'll do this for a little while and then it'll be done. And it's not, though. It's an ongoing process. It's a new way you live your life. It's a new kind of, it brings a new passion to what you're doing as well, because it opens up your own understanding of these things, and it opens up realizing your whys and understanding, okay, if I don't get everybody to row this boat in the same direction, then that just doesn't work very well. But when you start
Well,
doing that,
100%. That's why I think this concept of work-life balance is a bit of rubbish, right? You live. And to live, you work. And to work, you ideally want, right, a job. Not everybody can have the picture-perfect job that mixes passion and purpose and income. Let's be real and keep it honest. But yeah, it's an end both world, and you're hopefully in a system. And again, that word itself is challenged these days, right? That system's got a bit of a negativity to it for a lot of reasons we know. Just pick up the papers or go online and look at some of the interwebs. But as I often like to say, systems don't make things bad. People make the systems bad because systems are inanimate, right? And they're all naturally flawed because, frankly, they typically are based on models and frameworks that are generic until you do something with them. And then guess who does something with them? These things called humans. Right?
So I guess it'd be really useful. I mean, dig into some of your history and some of your knowledge, and give us some of the client type of clients you've worked with, and how coming in to an organization that hasn't got it working and applying a coach with business operating skill set, but also with the knowledge and the background, having used it. Give us some thoughts on companies you've worked with and how it's changed their lives and made things.
Thanks for asking. I've been doing Boss Up Stratikos for over a decade. I've literally worked with hundreds of companies. I'm approaching 1,000 all-day intensive sessions and thousands of one-on-one coaching. And before that, 3+ decades doing large-scale project systems integration with some of the largest tech companies in the world. And what's cool, I could say, is that there's a lot of commonalities, and that's the fun thing about what we do. We take the best of what the big companies do and leave behind the bureaucratic corporate shenanigans, if you will. And then we harness some of that goodness that startups and early stage and that entrepreneurial world does. And again, leave behind some of the kooky things that they shouldn't do. And we've packaged it, boss up, if you will, along with 90 in a way that while the model and the framework standardize, the coach and then the client customizes, obviously, the answers to the things we've talked about, the vision, their values, their purpose, cause, passion, the markets they choose, the product in terms of its positioning, the type of scoring they want with regards to their objectives and key results and their KPIs. And that's a glorious experience that we get to go through. We do that through a very programmatic, time-tested, proven, methodical type approach that, again, has been based on decades of experience and validation through a lot of projects and companies and other assignments that I've been through and other people have been through. So the cool thing is the boss up programmatic guidebooks, materials, and solutions, along with 90, while always effectively the same where it starts, literally right out of the box, it starts to change because the coach and the client basically says, hey, let's talk about you and where you want to go and where you're at and what you're all about. And that's always unique. And that's really fun. It's really fun when you can take, it's kind of like milk and cookies and peanut butter and jelly, and you take the tried and the true and the validated, and now you immerse yourself and you get this wonderful togetherness where you coach and consult and counsel and teach and train and advise, if you will, to come up with what are the right solution for them, the client, if you will, going forward. And yeah, it's been a wonderful blend of leveraging my past experience in big and small companies, having been a founder myself, screwed up, failed up, messed up, had some success too, I can say. And then coupled with our
You've
partners
had
at
quite a bit of
90.
that, so
What's
I think
that?
you've had quite a bit of the success thing. You're
Well,
right.
like most humans, right? We have good things and we have not so good things, right? I'm always growing, right? If I ain't growing, I'm dying. So that's what's cool. But yeah, it's been a wonderful blend of experience and some really smart people who have come together and put the solution in place. And then for the type of companies we serve, again, startups, early stage, scale-ups, mid-market, it's really fun, especially when we can serve companies that are so busy, so entrenched, so focused on delivering what we call in the business that they never have a chance to rise up and work on the business. You follow me? Roofers, plumbers, companies that are shipping products, bending and building things that will claim that they don't hang out in classrooms, and they haven't necessarily had the blessings of education in the hallowed halls, if you will, because that's what's cool. We keep it simple as best as we can. They know that inside of our solution are what we call the concepts, tools, and disciplines that we didn't make up, right? Smarter people than us, we brought it together. And so everybody just has a sense of confidence and awareness. So again, irrespective of the size or the product or the place that company is, they're able to leverage this and make it their own is the real cool thing going on here.
You've worked a lot with construction. I know you've worked with quite a few roofers and stuff. If you were, let's say, for example, to get into a reasonably decent roofing company that just had a couple of elements, let's say the vision was off, maybe not putting the correct emphasis on the people. What would you see that would be resulting in the company not achieving? And how does you coming into that situation? Have you got any kind of examples of that type of stuff where?
Yeah. So again, no one overtoot the boss up horn, but we've built these customizable guidebooks, right? That literally, I joke that they're like glorious picture books. And so the coach, along with the client, can literally, to your point, look at all of the essential concepts, tools, and disciplines. We also call it the nine core competencies. And they're able to do, let's call it a gap analysis, right? Between ideal state, we also have assessments, and where they're at today. And so let's just say that they, on a scale of 1 to 10, they get a 4, they get a 5. And then basically we look at why is there that gap and what is it? Is it a people issue? And the people don't necessarily have confidence that they know exactly what their roles, accountabilities, responsibilities are. They don't know how they're measured. They don't know how to report. They don't have faith and confidence that they actually have product that they can stand behind, right? Maybe they don't have the tools. Right. One of the key concepts is capacity, and capacity is their ability to show up to work, but it's also their ability to actually do the job. Maybe they don't have the trucks and they don't have the right infield technology. So it's always this wonderful blend of assessments and fact finding, a lot of truth telling, by the way. Progress starts with, first and foremost, agreeing to and committing to the truth. One of the ground rules that we have inside of Boss Up, we said it right at the very first session, is let's keep it clear. And clear is the word itself. We're always looking for clarity, but it's also an acronym. And the acronym stands for collaborative, logical, empathetic, authentic, and resilient. And if you commit to that ground rule, if you will, because inevitably you're going to have some conversations that are a little tough, right? You're going to be talking about people. You're going to be talking about shortcomings. You're going to be talking about challenges and issues. You've got to uncover and unmask and deal with some things that are sensitive. And yeah, the reality is that there literally is a way through a blend of what we call the art and the science of setting, discovering, debating, dialoguing, discerning, if you will, what we have and what we don't have, where we want to go, and then collectively as a leadership team, figuring out the best and right way to get from here to there, depending on what is their definition of here and there.
And that's, I love that. I love the, yeah, I've got a client or two that I'm working with at the moment, and one in particular comes to mind where, yeah, this vision piece, if it's not clear in the business owner's mind, if it's not clear in their mind, there's no way it's clear in the staff's mind. Yeah, and the staff are actually following the business owner because they believe in something they're doing, but they're then not quite so sure. And when you get the business owner to look at themselves again and say, actually, you know what, this is why I do this. You build that love again. You build a, when you're working in the business all the time and you don't get to see it, you forget why you do it. And it just becomes, for me at least, during my process, it became a burden at some point because there was just all day, every day, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, just trying to keep my head above water. And going through this process got me to a point where actually I can work 5 hours, 5 hours on a Wednesday, and the companies can run sometimes more effectively without me there. Yeah, I'm the classic visionary and not the integrator. This is understanding your own limitations, understanding
Right.
your, who you need to help you with it is really, I think that's a starting point for so many of these business owners, is actually understand a little bit more about where they are.
Right.
And then,
What was it? The Alice in Wonderland, right? Any road will get you there if you don't mind which road, where you're going, right? But to your point, let's just take that word vision, right? In our system, as vision's a big word, right? It could get you in a lot of trouble because even like business operating system, what does that mean? What specifically? And in our world, there's a host of elements and components and compartments to vision. Compelling, audacious. Jim Collins calls it the big hag, right? 3 year, 1 year, 90 days, weekly. And then we have scorecards that help to validate what we call the leading versus lagging indicators. Then we ensure that we've got standard operating processes. And so, challenge is a lot of times when I use some of this terminology, people are like, oh, you're going all corporate. Oh, that's what all the big corp, yeah. I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way, though. You can make efficiency and effectiveness taste good. Number one, you got to rewire your brain a little bit and say, a rose by any other name, right? Just because we use certain terminology doesn't mean that you as an organization have to look at it that way. Do we like to measure things? Yes, for the right reasons. Do we believe in efficiency and effectiveness? Not because we're hard charging corporate jerks, but because we understand that by doing that, that frees your people up to maybe go home a little earlier. It frees you up to have this concept called discipline equals freedom. And so you're trusted and entrusted more, right? If you got a great business operating system and you're making more income, that also means maybe the quality of your life, and maybe you get an extra bonus and you get an opportunity to take on more or less responsibility. You with me? And so it's so important why we have coaches and the software is it's a blend of and both. Right? Context and contextualization and nuance. It's like hard and the soft got to go together because if you don't understand the nuance and the contextual and you just say that's what the code says, you're going to miss a lot of things. And if you don't have the code and all you have is the context, again, vision without performance, then again, you're going to find yourself in trouble as well. The harmonization, the fusion, the integration, and the alignment of great software. Great coaching And the collaboration that happens between coach, software, and the leadership team, that's where the magic happens.
And I think there's some real hidden magic that's happened for me over the years. And the more I get to it, the more I appreciate it. The system is built to enable proper communication. It's built to really open up communication for your company. And I just look at meetings for me. I used to hate meetings. I just detested meetings. I'd go into a meeting, I'd sit there, I've been paying 10 or 15 people. They'd all be sitting in the meeting. Everybody would have their say, and we'd leave the meeting and nobody would do a damn thing. You would come back in 2 weeks and have the same meeting again. And for me, it was just such an eye-opener to get everybody in the company in a meeting. Make sure they're all following a set structure. Make sure we come out of it with the correct to-dos and everyone knows what they're doing. Make sure we address and deal with issues in the right way. So, we're looking the most important first and set everybody in. If you're in a leadership team, maybe you're doing a 90-minute meeting. And if you're lower down the tree, maybe you're doing a 45-minute meeting. But just make sure everybody has a voice. And once people are heard, they get so much more engaged.
I don't know. As a kid, I grew up in London, and this is a true story. My brothers egged me on to eat like about 35 Brussels sprouts. And back in the day, it was just my mom made Brussels sprouts with butter. And today, man, you go to a decent restaurant, the Brussels sprouts are made like freaking candy. It's got brown sugar, they're not even Brussels sprouts anymore. And that's what we do in meetings, right? Yes, meetings can be laborious and yuck and gross and long and stupid and why am I here and et cetera, et cetera. And if you do it right, though, meetings can be fun. They can be incredibly productive. They're necessary. Come on, let's just be honest, right? But in our system, it's a blend of addition by subtraction, right? Less is more. Do it really well and then do it better. So yeah, you just hit another nail on the head in terms of incorporating, blending, harmonizing what intuitively, even if people haven't been blessed to work for or read or go to school, I'd say a lot of people just because of movies and television, if you just walked into a company tomorrow or started a company tomorrow, you know some of these things just by osmosis and natural Darwin human nature, you follow me? Now, whether or not you want to do it or not, and that's the beauty you said earlier about Boss Up and 90 and what we have. Let's be honest, why wouldn't you leverage and utilize a model, a framework, again, a proven system that gives you the insights and the feature functions and benefits that other people have spent, for example, in 90, right? Since 10 years now, I think it's probably well over $30 million, give or take, has been put into the code if you include all of the research, development, the human capital, right? And it's $16 a month for a license. Just that right there, $16 a month for approximately maybe $30 million of code built over 10 years. And inside of that's got all this wonderful goodness. So I don't need to learn all that stuff. I don't need to know how to be a pilot and enjoy flying on an airplane and benefit from it. I don't need to conduct open heart surgery on myself. Let other people do that for you. So yeah, meetings is another one, right? The list goes on about things we don't necessarily need to be awesome or experts at, but we need to appreciate and understand that we need to do what we need to do to be good stewards in terms of how to run, build, scale, manage a company.
It's that thing, right? If you see somebody doing it, then model yourself on that. And this is, when somebody comes and knocks on the door and says, right, here we are, this is the system, this is how it works, this is proof we've got of it, here's some referenceability and all these things. I've always been of the understanding that I don't try and reinvent something myself, for sure. Why?
You and I vehemently agree. So why would you think, again, that's kind of like the old joke, four to five dentists say, don't chew sugar gum. You're like, who's that fifth dentist? Obviously, he's looking for job security because he's the one that says, chew it and then come see me. But what would you say? We obviously believe what we just both said, but why would you say if the world knew there's this affordable, effective way to harness and leverage everything we just talked about, what are your reasons that you think people don't do it? Why wouldn't they then embrace and take advantage of a solution that they know they can actually afford? What's getting in the way of these people?
I think two things get in the way. Firstly, people don't know, right? You get so caught up when you're in the trenches and you're, like you said, in the bottle and you can't read the label. They don't know. They don't know it's there. And if they do know it's there, the first thing that comes to mind, the first thing that came to my mind, my situation, I was running two IT companies, and I was about to acquire a third. And I just could not see how I'd get the time in the day to acquire the third. At that point, I had to make a decision. Do I just, I hit the total glass ceiling, couldn't get up anymore. So I had to go learn some more. And I dug in, pulled out rather large checks, signed it for the coaching. And then it was like, okay, yeah, I can actually learn some more. So I think as entrepreneurs, we have this bit of a weird thing. We sometimes think we know more than we actually know. We don't want to go out and ask for help because we should be able to do it ourselves. It's a bit of a pride thing, or it was for me anyway. And then we just don't know what we don't know. So it's this whole journey of trying to find out what you need to do. When you're not looking for it, it's not going to come to you. So I want to pick your brain a bit. I think I'm super interested. We're going into this age of AI, and it's really coming ahead. And I think even in the last 3 or 4 months that I've been working with you, I've seen you coming to it more and more. Where do you think it's going to go? What do you think is the future of some of the AI out there, and what are the use cases that? And I very much know that you look at this from another point of view as well. You have to do the work, so you can't have AI do the work for you. And I agree with this. But what's your overall view? I'm quite interested too.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm having a little bit of deja vu because I was front and center in the whole dot-com era. As the joke goes, right after Al Gore invented the internet, insert laugh track here. For those who don't know, you can Google that or ChatGPT it. And if you look back, and I was there, right? I raised 15 million venture capital, bought a bunch of companies, created probably one of the fastest growing web development e-business implementation companies in the market, front and center in a partnership with IBM. And we used to throw out some statistics that people are like, what are you smoking, snorting, shooting? And in hindsight, it all was this compared to what it's become, right? And today, in fact, you don't even use words like the internet or www. It's so pervasive, right? The internet is the backbone to everything, right? And so all the e-commerce numbers back in the day and how big it was going to be now, was there the dot-com boom bust crash and a bunch of stupid companies that never should have been funded, right? As Warren Buffett said, even a turkey can fly in a tornado. Were there some really stupid things that happened? Sure. So I say all that as preamble to AI, as I say that in hindsight, all those statistics were this compared to what happened. Same thing here, man. Now, my specialization as an entrepreneur, as a business builder, as an investor is not around the innovation side per se. Mine's around the production side, right? Sorry for the little horn toot. I was an Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. I do a lot of entrepreneurial things, but I always am very forthright to say, I don't think I'm an inventor of things. I take things that I've invented and I make more with it, right? I'm not that smart of a guy to invent. I'm no Elon Musk, if you will. And so the way that I look at the impact of AI is around the application with regard to enhancement and what it's going to do to effectively, especially in business and small in particular, to augment. I got a client who hates the word accretive, but to augment and to be accretive to the incumbent assets, that be the people, the infrastructure, the materials, the product, if you will, so that everything that they have, thanks to AI and the various AI tools, can make things quicker, faster, stronger, better, so that they don't necessarily need to have the same traditional overhead and expenses and take the same amount of traditional time, effort, and energy that it took to go from here to there or to deliver it in the way that they delivered it. You follow me? So I'm not equipped to talk about maybe, and you love AI too. You're, I think, more in that innovator world. I'm more about where do I see it in terms of the embedded application in business. I think it's going to be significant. In fact, I still do some coaching, even though I spend most of my time as the head coach at Boss Up and as a in my little consultancy on Stratikos. But I highly recommend that literally And this is part of what we teach at Boss Up at Inside of 90, that all the leadership team and the functions have what we call roles, accountabilities, responsibilities. And typically it's 5 to 7. And you focus on the 20% of your work that generates 80% of the results. And I've been encouraging the last 6 months, as you said, that everybody should have AI as one of their RARs. RAR is the acronym for roles, accountabilities, responsibilities. Yeah. And what specifically should it be? I have no bloody idea, but it needs to be something. And you should be knowing where, how, what, when, who is AI, what's available and will be available for AI to positively impact the production side, the performance side, the delivery side of your function, and then the holistic functions, if you will, of the organization. That's my answer. But I think it's going to be significant. And you're ready. I also think it's scary and a bit worrisome. And I've got my concerns, but isn't that the case with most things that are impactful in this world?
Yeah, any change. And I think for me, yeah, to your point exactly. Yeah, it's how do we, with all this noise that's out there, right? There's so much noise around AI. Every single day, there's something else that somebody else is doing. Yeah. And what we need to do as business owners, and what I'm really focusing on, is how do we actually take the tools that we need within this noisy space, filter them out and just put them there. This is what's going to be useful in my business. What's my AI roadmap, as it were? What are the things that are going to give me more productivity, that are going to give me less cost, that are going to give me more efficiency and effectiveness? And that's, yeah, I think that's going to be the sweet spot for business owners, is if you can actually work that out.
Yeah, to your point, in fact, I was just on a weekly team meeting. I sat in using 90, one of my clients, and one of the rocks, it's been completed for Q1, was they put together an infographic, a visual of 10 AI tools that they have blessed. They're about $100 million CPG, consumer products good company. And they've got 10 point product AI tools that they basically have vetted over the last 45 days. And have determined that they can help with copy and marketing, lead generation programs, just various. Again, my push was on production, not innovation per se. And so that was I think of the 8 or 10 milestones for rock completion, I think that's number 7. And then they're basically going to have a meeting with the team and share that. So by the time the rock is completed, rocks are 90-day goals, projects, programs, or initiatives. They're basically going to have this as a part of the SOP, the standard operating processes, that for this period of time in the company, AI, they got to look at it almost every, at a minimum, probably, I hate to say every week, but probably every couple of weeks with a flyover, and every month with more of an audit. You with me? Because things are changing so fast. But yeah, that's what's going on, man. And you say, how can small companies, just a handful of employees, you know this, that's also the beauty of AI. Yeah. It was in the Wall Street Journal the other day. How long is it going to take until there's the first company that gets unicorn status, $1 billion status, yeah, with just one person because of the ability, yeah, that they're using AI?
I don't think it's that long. Huh? After some of the things I'm seeing, I don't think it's that long. And yeah, but that, and for me, it's much more of, yeah, the number of people that I'm speaking to at the moment. That I was teaching at Cranfield University Business School today. Yeah, and we'll talk about that type of thing next. I was teaching breathwork to these, yeah, business owners. And yeah, the number of people I spoke to, I had 16 people I spoke to today. Yeah, and only 2 of them were actually had any idea what AI could do. Yeah. And it's, we have this gap that's growing up between.
Yeah, you do. It's almost in the States. I don't know if you've got the same thing. We have this net neutrality thing here, which is true. It's unfortunate, right? I don't want to get into politics and some of the socioeconomic dynamics, right? But if you don't have access to the internet, it sucks, and for a host of reasons. And to your point, we think everybody is fortunate or blessed or whatever you want to say, that they have at least a generic understanding of AI. And we're all over the map right now on this, aren't we?
I think there's
and probably more on the big word in the world today, right? Is misinformation, disinformation, or whatever, right? The scary factor of it all. And it's got to settle in. And obviously with the elections and what's going on in the world, again, like anything, it's got pluses and minuses, pros and cons. The hope is right now, though, that we got guys like you out there who are doing good with it. It's sincerely, right? I love what you're all about, how you're, I think the way you're doing it for me, it's much more utilitarian than ethereal. And the way you're looking to, I'm going to go back to the word I've used already, the production side, the application side, the conceptual side. I think I would love at least if schools and some others would at least try to get that somewhat understood, what it isn't, right? As opposed to all the kooky things that are coming out about it. But some things just take time.
Yeah. And it's,
You
yeah, it's
remember how
just
long
that.
the internet kind of took? I just remember how long we were running on 23 baud modems. Right? I mean, a lot of this, you want to have some amnesia, how painful it was, but geez, I sat in my basement with my 24 baud
For sure.
I was in there from 95 to, right, running on Netscape browsers, writing APIs between Java and RPG green screen 5250s, man. And that took almost 2 years to just get to
We
a.
upgraded to CompuServe, didn't we?
Yeah,
CompuServe,
yeah, yeah.
that was a on ISDN. Wow, that was a thing.
And you're surprised seeing some of the stats about, look at ChatGPT. I think it said Facebook took 4 years, Google took 10 to get to, what was it, like 10 million users or something like that. And ChatGPT did it in like 3 months.
Yeah, ridiculous. In terms of the whole world at the moment, ChatGPT, I think, is still on something like 2.5% people use it once a week. So now it's good time to get in there. There's still a lot of leg room for business owners to get in and get ahead of the curve, and yeah, and it's just using it every day.
Yeah,
That's
so
what
you
it
know,
is.
there, and again, people like examples. So this weekend, I'm one of the companies I'm invested in and on the board with. I raised my hand. I don't really have the time, but I did it. And it's an article that I'm putting together on a strategy. And I swear it probably would have taken me 12 to 18 hours to write what I knew I wanted to write, to do some diagnostics, to study what I wanted to study. And so I start on my phone. I pay for the, what is it, $18 a month or whatever. So I've got the same account that ties my laptop and my phone. I sat in my phone, I had a beer, and I did a little thing. I then went and did some other things. So basically, I did four or five ChatGPT steps between my phone and my laptop. Long story short, within about probably 90 minutes, not elapsed time, but total time,
Yeah.
I got what I wanted. I then got it on a Word document. I just basically did in about 90 elapsed minutes over a day and a half what I swear, especially with my schedule, would have taken me a week and a half.
Yeah. And yet it's, I think sometimes it is actually better in some ways because you have access to more memory. You have access to more
Oh,
things that, yeah.
goodness gracious. I just mean better, quicker, the accolades, the attributes. Now, I would tell you though, I'm my age. I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time. There's something to be said that if I had a 25, 26-year-old employee, and as the expression goes, the destination is the journey, bummer if they don't. I would have liked them to have the 16 hours that I think I would have had to have done back in the day, because that's part of the learning. That's part of the training. That's part of the grooviness of it all. You follow me, man? That's where the trade-offs are obviously positive, and there's certainly, we don't have time today. There's a lot of trade-offs that I'm worried about and I struggle with. But I think this, we're back to the companies, very sincerely, in my heart, I talk a lot about leadership, management, teamwork, and accountability. And I think the more AI, and even back to business operating systems and running companies that can that can self-run, right? The more better we are, AI and run companies, ideally that frees us up to be better versions of leaders and individual coaches and mentors, and just really being there to upskill, cross-skill, teach. You with me, man? That's the humanization factor, just has got to be double
How do
amplified
we
at the
have to
same time.
we have to keep humanity in this? This is where my own kind of passion point comes to. How do we make sure we don't lose humanity in these things? It's all very well that we can do whatever we're going to do, but yeah, the humanity, what makes us different? That's where the value set's going to be in the future. It's to bring the humanity to it. And Yeah, and that's where we are. And if we have more time, the thing that I love to look at with AI is it's actually given me, and you'll feel this, it's given me the time. If I can go out to a business owner who's totally stressed out, and I can say to him, you need to go and do some exercise, you need to do some meditation, you need to do some breath work, just something that you want to do, right? And I can give you 2 hours a day because I'm going to sort your emails out for you with AI. Will you go and do that exercise? Yeah, and you've too. Yeah, I love watching your social media. You're always in the gym. We were talking about your biggest squat yesterday. What's your view on that side of it, and actually keeping sure that you keep your mind and your body strong and fit, and how that
Yeah,
affects
well,
you?
again, I think you almost have to make a deal with yourself that if you're going to harness and leverage AI and automation, and you're going to run a great company that's embracing the concepts, tools, and disciplines that we're talking about. To your point, I've posted this visual that says F dot 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 your excuses. And you got to be fit in business, work, and life. And I'm not talking about six-pack abs and running for the cover of a magazine, man. That's not what it's about. But it's about being equipped and being there for other people, because you can't be there for other people if you're physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally not as best as you could be. And God knows everybody's got their situations, and the good Lord's got a sense of humor or lack thereof at times. It seems, in terms of how people have the bodies or the space, the place they're in. I think it's almost a pact, if you will, that you've got to make with yourself and to those around you, that if you're doing this, then you've got to contribute to that. And that is that you've got to be the best version of yourself. And that means how you read, how you think, how you live, how you exemplify. And again, use the word always, but I'm not always, but I try to practice what I preach. So I believe in compartmentalization. I believe in systemization. I believe in structure. I believe in good protocol, because that's not my natural dispensation. This, I did that little TED talk that I technically didn't have to do because of COVID, but I did the video for it, which talks about personal accountability systems, right? And staying out of your own damn way. And how do I do that, right? Because my natural disposition is, look, squirrel. Hey, let's go eat a six pack of donuts and sit around and do nothing. That's God's sense of humor. But I know that's not the way to do it, right? So Jocko Willink, discipline equals freedom. But yes, basically every morning when I start the day and every night when I end, I have this deal with myself that says, hey, I got this good enough. You with me? It's like this trade-off that I got, this little healthy.
And that's
And
that,
so
yeah.
I think that's my answer. And I hope everybody who's fortunate and in a position that they can be able to do the Wim Hof breathing and the ice baths and have companies that they can invest in be better, then they've got to give back. They've got to pay it forward. They've got to start with themselves, but help others back to the humanization of everything. That's the deal we just got to have.
Yeah, people need to generally be nicer all around, I think, and just stop looking inside and
Unless they support the New England Patriots football team, then we might have a little issue with them. But other than that, we should be nice to everybody.
like the Hoosiers or something. Those,
Silly North American football humor. But yeah, I think it's a fair deal, right? Don't you?
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's yeah, I guess it leaves to be said that you look after your mental health, you look after your physical health, then you can look after other people. Yeah, if you don't look after yourself first, yeah, you can't look after other people. And running a company is all about looking after other people.
Well, I say this all the time, not to get a little downy here, but I've helped a lot of business owners, especially mid-50s, 60s, who are kind of Mother Nature's knocking and saying they wake up one day and they're relatively successful, if not very successful companies. They realize that they're the only ones that know how to run it and they're not in the best of health. And I have to often say something. I say the best thing that could happen is you is that you're not here. The worst thing that happens is you are here. You have a stroke, you're disabled, then you become a triple liability to yourself, to the company, and to those you love. And it's perspective, right? And it almost goes back to the start of the conversation we had. Why don't people do something that they know is better for them? And in our system, and I think you know this, as coaches, we kind of have that fine line between you want a hug or you want to kick in the shorts, right? Because progress starts with the truth. And so when I first meet with a prospective client and they invite me in to meet with them, I make it pretty clear that we're going to do some things that aren't that comfortable, and you got to be willing to be uncomfortable to get to comfort, right? You got to go through the proverbial danger zone and deal with some tension, and not everything's going to be Lovey-dovey.
And we're change makers, aren't we? We're change makers and change times.
And even great change comes with some discomfort and some challenges. But if you stick to it, and again, I see this all the time. They're like, I can't take care of myself because I'm taking care of other people. But what if that logic puts you in a situation that you physically, mentally can't take care of them, and then you're again that triple burden? Then what's your plan? I don't have a plan. That's not a plan.
Yeah. That's what you need to call us in. Some final words. Thank you very much for your time so far. I'd love some final pearls of wisdom, as I know only you can bring forward.
I don't, it's hard to sum up like that. I guess I would just thank you, Roy, number one, for literally doing what you do, how you do it, who you are. Genuinely, I'm a big Roy Castleman fan, and I encourage the listeners and those to not only listen to this, but to ask more about what you can do and how you can help. I just think I would ask again, and a bit, I'm a bit of a button pusher on this. I think it starts with a lot of questions, right? The power of questions. Why do you do what you do today? Why do you exist? Why do you want what you want? And I think if you really just go through a really honestly candid and forthright and sincere questioning of yourself, your situation, where you're at, where you've been, where you want to go, and you realize that things can be better and you know that there's a way that can help you make it better, why wouldn't you make it better? And I'm not just saying because of stuff that you and I do, but just simple things. Maybe it's just something. James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits, and he calls it habit stacking, right? You don't leap in results, right? You build habits and process, right? That's how you get to results. So I would just encourage everybody to think about a couple of things. Number one, in fact, here's God's truth. There's only three things you can do to improve your situation. Start doing something positive that you're not doing today. Stop doing something that you shouldn't be doing today and do something better that you're already doing if it should be done better. That's it. But just think about something in your world today that you should start doing that you're not, that you know will be good for you. Stop doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And what is something that's good that you know you could just do better? Think about those three things, write it down on a piece of paper, and don't overthink it. Just come up with a couple of things and get those done. Start there and see what happens. And maybe you get some momentum going. And from there, you build on that momentum and get a little more progress. So that'd be my final thought.
Thank you very much, Scott. Really appreciate everything.
Thanks, Roy. Keep rocking, man. See you around the.
For listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.